Welcome to the Business Vitality Podcast. My name is Catherine Canty. I am the host and an executive coach. I work with teams, individuals, and leaders to help create measured leadership change. We do that using practical application, and our clients are creating 100% measured results as seen by those around them. Not necessarily what I think or what they think, but what the other people are seeing. And they are being recognized for the hard work that they're doing. If you're interested in learning more about some of the work that we're doing, you can learn more at CatherineCanty.com. I would love for you to subscribe to this show, to Business Vitality. This is my way to continue to pay it forward and share business best practices. Stay tuned and listen to the interview. Thanks for being here. Rutherford Paschal, you are the founder and CEO at Glass Walls Leadership, found on the web at glasswallsleadership.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit, high level, about Glass Walls Leadership and what you're doing with that work.
So let me tell you the genesis of the name, which might help you, and the audiences. So everyone knows what glass ceilings are, right? Glass ceilings are when somebody put a barrier on you. They limit your growth, or they tell you you can only go so far. Glass walls are what we put on ourselves. Right. So I named it that way because what I wanted to do is break people out of their glass walls so they can achieve their greatness. So that's really what I do as a leader, leadership coach, leadership speaker, is really try to talk to people about their unique genius, their unique greatness, because many times they've never thought about themselves as great.
Was this something that maybe hits home with you, a glass wall? Is that something you saw in yourself, or is that something you saw in other people you were managing? Where did you first see?
That's a great question. It's what I saw in other people. So what I would say, when I would talk to some people that I was leading, I would talk to them. I said, do you understand the impact you make on others? And they uniformly, they would say, no, I don't. And it was said so often that I knew people didn't say it. And when you talk to leaders, they have a difficult time telling people what they're doing is good. And then the specificity around exactly what they're doing is good is lacking. Because they might say, hey, really good job, but they don't tell you, you know, how you opened with that conversation, that line, did you see the reaction? So what I saw, what I did was give really specific examples, you know, of why people were great, what made them different, and it's because of that. And then the reaction from people when you tell them that they're great at something, that they're in even genius at certain things, the reaction was spectacular. And the feedback I got always was that no one's ever said that to me before. I didn't know that I was great at this. And now you said it, I understand that I like it. I like when I do that. I have joy when I look at spreadsheets. I can look at spreadsheets for hours. I can look at spreadsheets for about 35 seconds, but other people can look at it for hours. And so I just celebrated people's greatness and they appreciated it, and because they never heard about it before.
So you haven't always been a leadership coach and a founder and a CEO. You had a little bit of time in your life doing something else before.
Yeah.
Talk about that if you don't mind.
Yeah, a little bit of time. Yeah, I spent over 30 plus years in, I spent over 35 years in two big industries. First was consumer packaged goods with a company called Scott Paper. And then the bulk of the time was in pharmaceutical biotech space with three Fortune 100 companies. So, and growing people, growing leaders, in both of those areas, in in a very linear fashion with sales. Started as a rep, trainer, first line leader, second line leader, third line leader, fourth line leader. Right? There was a little bit of stops in between, but they were tiny and meaningless, to be honest with you. But that was the trajectory of the career. So it was always helping people, growing people, helping customers, and really helping the company grows at the same time.
You had quite a few promotions you mentioned before I hit record. I think that's please share that, because that's not an everyday number that people hear.
So I was promoted 8 times with these companies, and actually, so it should have been 10, but so a couple of times I got promoted and the promotion was retracted because the product, I was supposed to be this role, and then the product got pulled by the FDA. So the role went away. That happened a couple of times. So, I got promoted all of those times, and the reasons that I got promoted those times is because the value that I added to the, when I was a rep, sole contributor is the value that I added to the customer and then the other reps that, around my team. We have 10 reps on the whole team, and the other 9 people, the value that I added to them, and then what I did in the field with my customers, that was the reason I got promoted. Then when I got to a first line leader position, I was a trainer between that, but national trainer. And then, so I became a first line leader, I added value to the team. So I was trying to grow the team. So I poured in every single thing was how to make the team better, how to grow their business, how to help them grow their business, not me growing, how to help them grow their business. And just poured into them as human beings. And as I said before, talking to them about their unique gifts, skills, that they were probably unaware of. And then and without going through everything. So those are the reasons that I got promoted. And a couple of times I got promoted because I added value to the company by talking to the company about something they needed and they weren't thinking about it. What's interesting, Catherine, is I got a call just a couple of months ago from somebody, and the person who's a first line leader, and it's this big corporation that I used to be a part of, and they said, I don't know if I can affect change or really tell the company what to do from my level. And I said, no one's more positioned better than you, because you're closer to the customer. They're 3,000 miles away. They're in meetings 22 hours a day. They're not talking to the field reps on a daily basis, the customers on a daily basis. They don't know the market atmosphere on a daily basis. They see everything from, a 3,000 foot view. So I said, no one's better than you. So that's the way that I've always thought. And that's the other reasons that when you add value to the company and tell them these are things that we might be able to do to grow the overall revenue top and bottom line and make it better for everybody. Those are the other reasons that I got those 8 promotions.
So it sounds like you walk the walk and now you're actually showing other people how to do this, because it's coming just from frontline real world experience.
Yeah.
It's not, you studied it in a textbook and now you're implementing it. Like, you lived it, and it's not easy to be out there and to live it all the time. And what you said about people on the front line, like that is vital to be able to listen to the people on the front line. Many times I was told to
And I wanted to, like, I was just dying to get out of the building because I really wanted to know what was the customer impact of what was happening. And I could get just frontline information and bypass all the TPS reports, you know, in the organization and say, this is what the customer says, not what this algorithm is telling you. And there's so much value in it. And you said something else in there, you know, you're showing the employees how they're providing value. I'm curious, you said something before I hit record. It's not about talking about them and the company. It's not about, what was the exact phrase that you said? Don't think about, you know, what am I going to get out of it? But you want to create more of a win-win. Can you talk about that? Because I think a lot of people get hung up on what's my commission or what's my structure on this. And I just met with somebody yesterday and I had to say, it's important, but put that to the side. What is the value you're creating within the organization? Yeah. Do you mind talking about that? Because I think a lot of people miss that.
Yeah, people, that's a very transactional way of thinking, right? I do this, I get this in return. Life typically doesn't happen that way, especially at the speed of light, okay? So you might have to do things for a while, but if you do it for the right reasons, and you're doing it to help people. So one of the things that's important is if you're with, and I'm going to say the right company in whatever industry you're in, and if you're right situation and you care about the customer, you care about your colleagues, or you care about the company, any one of the three or all three, then you should try to do things to better that situation. So you get rewarded with promotions, more money, accolades, whatever it is, when you do something to better those situations. But in none of those cases are you trying to better your situation. It's a byproduct of doing that. It's a, I call it a happy side effect of doing that. When you do good, good comes back to you. But it's not a transactional thing, right? So let me give you an example. So I was talking, so I was at a conference in Las Vegas with, I was a first line leader. I was at a conference with another first line leader in Vegas. And one of our, every single time we went to a conference, we would see one of our customers on stage being sponsored by our number one competitor every single time. And we never had that opportunity. We just never had that opportunity to do that. And it was frustrating, right? Because our product was as good or better, okay? So I told the young lady that I was with, I said, I am not happy with this. I'm gonna change this. I'm gonna put together a plan so we can get somebody on stage with in front of all of our potential customers to talk about the product, talk about our product. And so I did that like the next week. I had a presentation, 5-slide presentation with the vice president of sales. And in 10 minutes, he said yes, after, you know, we had a little bit of back and forth for a couple of minutes. I just wanted to put in a new team specifically to go against this, right? To get our voice with these customers, because it was not there. That, and so what was interesting about that is because this was a new thing, you needed a leader, because I pitched, four people plus somebody running it. So everybody thought that I was going to put my name in to run it because I came up with the idea. I got, you know, agreed. And I said, no. I said, it's the right thing for the company, but I don't want that role. I didn't put this together to get me this role or to benefit me. It was because the company needed it. And what I'll say this to you is that little thing that I did benefited the company, probably saved $5 to $10 million over the next 10 months, and then made $200 to $300 million over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right? And by the way, 99% of the people don't know I had anything to do with it. No idea. It was never like publicized by anybody. And I never, after that initial thing, I never talked to anybody about it, but it was the right thing to do. Was that transactional? The answer is no. Did I have benefit from that? Yeah. A couple of years later when I was up for a promotion. Yeah. But, by the way, it was probably more known. It was never mentioned, you know? I never did it to benefit me. But in fact, I'm sure it benefited me later on, silently.
What that story was is really impactful, because I've seen this over and over again. And you've noticed an opportunity that was sitting in front of you, that a lot of people, you know, if we're doom scrolling at the conference, we're not noticing this. So you noticed an opportunity, and you probably had a little bit of courage, because, you know, you're kind of like, I don't know, am I going to have to go up against somebody for this idea? Kind of like you said, you had to go back and forth to negotiate, but you found the courage to be able to do it. A lot of people just don't have the courage to be able to acknowledge it, but you noticed the opportunity and you took action. Mm-hmm. And between those two things, noticing the opportunity, having a little bit of courage in there and taking action, you created value that was much bigger than just one person could do on a Tuesday. You know, like, it was huge. And when we go to conferences, when we go see customers, when we go to the front line, there is a pot of gold everywhere. If we would just open our eyes and notice the opportunities, have a little courage and take some action on it. And there is a plethora of value that we can create that is really, you know, at our doorsteps every day when we choose to go to work and be present.
This is by the way, well said. What I will say is, I've always said that if you're looking for me to have all the answers, you're looking in the wrong place, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about the number of people, say you have 200, 300, whatever the number is, 10, 20, versus one person. The law of numbers says that there's going to be people with better ideas. You just have to give them not only the courage to say, but you have to demonstrate that you are listening to them, and then their idea gets put into play. So this is like you remember those suggestion boxes people used to have?
Yeah.
Like they, you know, oh, here's a suggestion box. You like have 95 suggestions and nothing would get picked. Like, nothing's changed. I get all these things. It's like now they do surveys. Mm-hmm. So these companies that do surveys every month, every quarter, sorry. And then nothing ever is enacted from those surveys. So guess what happens? People don't pay any attention to it because nothing happened. So one of the important things that I've always told the leadership is, if we listen to the people on the ground, truly listen, right? They might have 60 or 80% of a great idea, or even 10% of a great idea. And then you can go, oh, you know what? I love that. But what if we did what? And then you can bring it. And then the important thing is you give them 100% credit, right? Right? Because they instigated or initiated that idea, and then you added more meat to it. But just that type of thing, and then you give them their flowers in front of the masses. What that's going to register in other people's brain is, hey, they'll actually listen to a great idea from the field or from the people that are in this department, instead of just going to a marketing, what do they call those groups? Those focus groups, which whatever. They actually will listen to people who are on the ground. So that's the other really, really important thing, is listening aggressively to the people that are doing the job on a daily basis.
It is such a teamwork environment, because you can have a 60 to 80% idea, you know, just like the basic of that idea. And then when you share it with the right people within the right company, you can really take this, you know, kind of a little piece of glass and get this thing polished. And you've got a diamond that's just been sitting there on the side of the road that we didn't know about. But we got to have the rest of the team around us in a good company to be able to, everybody's got to come to the table and work on this idea that's probably only 60%, 70% developed. And when we do that, like, really cool stuff, just magic begins to happen, and it creates this momentum of more ideas and add-ons for different types of value that we're providing. But most importantly, we're creating thinkers within an organization at every single layer of the organization, not just at the top. Do we have the thinkers? We got thinkers on the front line that are paying attention to what's in front of them. And that's how we can even create more value, not just for the company, but to make ourselves indispensable with the ideas that we keep bringing up. I have a question. You said before we hit record about being great to people. And when you're great to people, something happens. I would love for you just to talk a little bit about that, because I think it is fantastic.
One of the things that's important from a leadership perspective, if you're a CEO, C-suite individual, whatever your title is, and it's really important to tell people how great work they're doing, right? If they're not doing great work, don't lie to them, right? But if they're doing good work or great work, you have to tell them that. Because when you tell somebody you're doing great work, you're going to get more greatness out of them. The greatness you put in, you're going to get more out. So if somebody tells you that you're doing a good job, you know, at 5:01, you might still finish like this document you're working at. And it's 5:40, you might still be there. At 6 o'clock, you might, because you know that your work matters. You know that somebody appreciates what you're doing. If you're never told what you're doing, 4:59, you're packed and you are ready to go, and you're not adding any more time, right? So that's when you get more, if you tell people that they're doing a good job or doing a great job, and you appreciate those people, and you're going to get so much more that's out of them that then you could if you said nothing. Because the mentality that some leaders have, some people, is I'm paying them to do this job. Why should I tell them that they're doing a good job? That's the job I'm paying them for. That's expected, right? So it would be, let's think about real life. So when you're in high school, you graduate high school. You are supposed to graduate high school. So why would we celebrate somebody graduating? Because we are supposed to do it. That's the whole goal. You still have parties, and you're celebrating your child, somebody else's child, their relative, because it's an accomplishment, right? And even though you're quote unquote supposed to do it, and it's like everyone else does it, like not everyone else, but a majority of the people do it. It's so, and that's what I always want people to stop and say, thank you, great job. And just those little things, will repay you and the company in much, much, much bigger ways. Much bigger ways.
Okay, as we begin to kind of wrap up, you have written a book. Mm-hmm. I would love for you just to share a little bit about it and where people can find more information?
Sure. So the first whole book I wrote beginning of this year, it's called The PID System, Preparation, Intentionality, Differentiation. How to elevate yourself from the sea of sameness, get promoted or just get paid. That's the that's the horrifically long title, but the real title is The PID System. That's underneath it. So that's really about how to add value to yourself so you become invaluable, right? And I give you 45 different things. I split the day into five sections: the morning, the mental preparedness in the morning, internal meetings, external meetings, networking meetings. So that's really the premise of the book, and it's very easy. Preparation, intentionality, differentiation. That's the way everybody gets promoted. That's the way everybody grows. That's the way everybody differentiates themselves in the world, no matter what you do. So that's what the book is. So I wrote a 3,000 word chapter in another book, and that's the other side of value. And that's where that, which is what Catherine, we, you know, I was just talking about, is how do leaders value everybody in the organization, from the person who's the custodian to the person who's watering your plants in the building. Appreciate everybody. That's really what, and I give examples of three or four companies that do that and do that well. One of them, the Ritz-Carlton. Think about the service you get at the Ritz-Carlton. Think about how everybody there is happy. They love what they do, right? And that's what we want people to do. I want joy in the workforce, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is I can create more joy in companies within the different workforce. That's what gets me up every morning.
Love it. Where can the books be found?
So Amazon, The PID System on Amazon. If you put my name in, it's a kind of strange, unique name. You'll find it. What's interesting, this is kind of funny. When I first got the book and I put it on Amazon and I put my name in, there's another person with my exact name and he's written two books. So it's crazy.
Are you serious?
It was the exact name, but backwards. I think it's Pascal Rutherford.
Yeah.
But it was not Rutherford.
Oh, that's wild.
And it's written two books. Nothing like, completely different area of focus. But Rutherford Pascal, you'll find it.
When's your third book coming out? I got to ask.
So I'm in another book on, but when's my third book coming out? I think I might write something next year. You know what's crazy is when I was researching, when I was finishing the first book on value, because looking up how many books on value are there? There's none. There's literally nothing on value. There's an employee value and this thing on values, but it's nothing on value. So I might write another book on value next year. I'll think about it. It just has to be information that comes to me and before I can set it up. But I'm hopefully next year or year after. There'll be a third book.
I had a feeling there's another one coming. I feel like once you start to write, it just is such a great process to be able to compile so much information in a nice package that could be shared with other people. A lot of good information in these books. Okay, awesome. So Rutherford, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, they want to learn more about the work that you're doing, what is the best way to do that?
So Glass Walls Leadership is the website. You can contact me there. I'm on LinkedIn. Same thing, my name. And if you want to get a hold of me by email, it's Rutherford@glasswallsleadership.com.
Fantastic. Rutherford Pascal, you are the founder and CEO at Glass Walls Leadership, found on the web at glasswallsleadership.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great time.
Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like it, please subscribe, share this episode or this show with other people around you. The greatest form of a compliment is a referral. I really appreciate them. And if you think that you want to learn more about some of the work we're doing, I encourage you to reach out to katherinecanty.com. You can schedule a call or just continue to read articles and information that we post out there. Thank you so much for being here.